You're listening to the Happy Market Research Podcast. I'm Jamie Brazil, your host. This episode is being done in partnership with Qual 360 North America. This year's event is on March 13th and 14th at the Gallup's headquarters in Washington, D.C. The focus is on navigating the dynamic future of qualitative research. For more information, check them out online, na.qual360.com. Again, that's na.qual360.com. Our guest today is the keynote speaker at Qual 360. Esther Mariah Tejeda is a marketing executive serving as chief marketing officer at Anywhere Real Estate. Anywhere Real Estate is the largest publicly traded residential real estate company in the United States and home to brands you may recognize like Century 21, Coldwell Banker, and Sotheby's International. She previously served as the chief marketing and communications officer at SoundExchange, SVP and head of comms at Audacity, and she has held various marketing leadership roles at organizations like PepsiCo, Univision, and Diageo. Esther Mariah, welcome to the show.
So I am a veteran CMO. I've been a CMO a couple of times now. I've been in the business of marketing for 22, 23 years. I've begun to lose count. The thing that I do is transformation work. And so really focusing on organizations, industries, and sectors that are navigating all of the disruption that we are seeing in consumer behavior, customer habits, business practices, et cetera, largely driven by digital and technology. And one of the things that I'm most passionate about in this work of transformation is the business of customer behavior and how customer behavior has dramatically changed and is dramatically changing still over the past 10, 5, 3, even 1 year. And the way that we as consumers, as people in society and culture, process things, consume things, purchase things is very different today than it was yesterday. And so how responsive and how different do our business needs need to be in order to be reactive to that change, to that piece of constant change with customers is one of my passion points.
I was in a call with a top CPG company, head of insights, quite literally yesterday, which was February 13th. And we're talking about how it used to be the case and still is that insights are being distributed inside of an organization through normal like presentation formats, right? But we're seeing an evolution of that same presentation being shared in a variation in a video format, like a Loom or something along those lines. So it gets distributed. And this is just a little example in a business framework of how a little tiny thing like that, if you fast forward a couple of years, we could see maybe not a complete replacement, but like video could be a dominant way that insights are ultimately shared across an organization versus the sort of traditional means. And that's just an example really of information flow and how technology is disrupting that information flow. But when you're thinking about B2C frameworks where that disruption is happening much faster because people's attentions and where they're spending time and focuses is also changing so rapidly and being impacted by that. Relative to your business and as you're thinking about the next things, what are some of the bigger disruptions that you're seeing?
So I love that we're having this discussion around insights because I think insight is the core and foundation of having a solid business strategy, product strategy, marketing strategy, customer experience, customer service. There really isn't a single part of a business that I can think of right now that isn't and or shouldn't be rooted in really solid insights. And so insights are really designed to tell us about our customers, whether our customers are B2B or B2C. It is designed to give us that deeper look and understanding of what is happening in the marketplace so that we can adjust our business model to respond to those behaviors. And so what is super interesting about what's happening with insights is that there's a progression that has gone on. So let's look at how we behaved as human beings 10 years ago versus how we behave as human beings right now. We are living in, I think I would argue, the most fragmented time, certainly of my lifetime, that I have ever seen or experienced as a business person or as a marketer. The diversity of customers is wider than it's ever been. And I don't just mean ethnicity in all the ways that we normally talk about diversity. I really mean folks are on a broader spectrum than we've ever seen before. There's a variety of political opinions. There's a variety of social opinions. There's a variety of levels of engagement with technology and digital. There's people that embrace it and love it. And there's people that hardly have any profile online. And there's people somewhere in between. At the same time, while we have all of this variety in our customer base, we also have a tremendously elevated expectation of brands and businesses from customers, right? Mm. Customers are expecting more. They are expecting brands to be responsive and in tune with their values and principles, their desires and needs, to anticipate what they will need tomorrow. And so those expectations are harder to meet for a business. And so when you combine these much more demanding expectations from customers and also customers who in and of themselves are more fragmented, more diverse, more complex, more nuanced than they have ever been, business is in this really tough predicament of trying to understand that granularity, trying to understand that individuality, trying to respond to that level of personalization and to that wide range of demand that is coming from throughout their customer base. So that brings me into the importance of what I like to call precision marketing and precision strategy. So instead of going one size fits all, which means one size fits none, we have to better understand those complex, nuanced segments and cohorts of our customers so that we can tailor strategy to meet their particular set of needs. From an operational perspective, this eliminates bloat, right? Because you spend less to target fewer people, but get better results. And then from a strategic perspective, it allows you to be laser focused in a way that we haven't been before. Now, how do we do this? This is where we get back to insight. Historically, you've heard marketers talk about, we care about the why of things. Why? You should always be asking why. Why does the customer do this? Why does the consumer believe that? Why does the buyer do X, Y, or Z? All of the modalities that we use as of now for insights and segmentation of our customers don't actually tell us anything about the why. So if you think about demographic data, which is one thing that we use a lot to try to target and personalize, et cetera, and create personas, that doesn't tell us why, it tells us who. And then when you go into psychographics, which is the current most popular way of creating personas, that also doesn't tell us why, it tells us what. What does this person like? What does this person do? What does this person watch on TV? What does this person buy? But it doesn't get to the why of any of this behavior. So if we take that, we realize that we're actually ill-prepared to address the evolving consumer behaviors, the expectations, the demands, the diversity and the fragmentation, because we don't have the depth of the insight. So what I'm working on, and I'm calling this emographic, which is the next layer on from demo to psycho to emographic, is understanding and codifying the unconscious emotional constitution and profiles of your customer. And it's based on this premise that actually 95% is psychological. This is psychology 101. 95% of human behavior is driven by the unconscious emotion. So by the time that you make a decision to buy something or to like something, that's a post-rationalized experience of something that happened unconsciously for you that you're not aware of. And so a focus group, a survey, will never get to that level of understanding because the human being cannot articulate that. They don't actually know it's happening. So using new techniques like DMAT, like implicit metaphor associations, et cetera, with neuroscience, we're now able to really codify these unconscious personas, these unconscious emotional profiles and drivers that make you and me profoundly different people. And so if I'm to segment across those emographic profiles and layer that in with the demographic data that I already have and the psychographic data that I already have, then I'm really able to understand who is my consumer, what do they do, why do they do it? And now I can, from a very strategic operational level, I can activate against those personalized, targeted, precise strategies because I can create the segments and the cohorts in a much more robust and comprehensive way. And this is the work of emographics. This is the thing, I think, the thing that unlocks what has been working in the past and what is going to work tomorrow in a business setting.
This is super exciting work. I have literally never heard, and I've only been doing it 25 years, but I've never heard a segmentation framework laid out in the way that you have laid it out, which is a little embarrassing because I've done a lot of segmentation too in my career. First of all, I love the term that you've come up with, emographics. One of the things that we miss is the whole, and I like the jobs to be done framework. It doesn't have to be jobs to be done. There's other, you know, ways of getting to it, but that discovery process of understanding what the actual, what is driving that consumer behavior. But then what I'm seeing on a personal level is my behavior is being shaped in a literal sense by my social media feed. And so I can give you a really good example of this. Again, sample size of one. I'm a hobbyist woodworker. And so I basically have my TikTok looks like wood talk. Like it's all about making whatever kinds of things. And so where do you think I'm discovering what new products I need to buy in order to accomplish my things? There's literally zero ads. I'm literally just watching the videos, how the people are doing it, and then interacting with, if I can't identify and purchase the thing, the saw or whatever it is, the lathe, whatever, then I'm DMing, having a back and forth with the content creator. But it is so interesting, like that purchase journey for me, if you were to try to put me in some segmentation, you would never sell anything to me. But If you're starting with getting into my why, which is I love creating things, and this is my particular outlet, and gift giving happens to be one of the things that I'm very passionate about that fulfills me, then all of a sudden you're very well equipped to market to me and help me connect with your brand.
Exactly. And also you're more equipped as a brand to help that influencer on TikTok create messaging and content that's actually going to bring you into the fold. Because there is no one size fits all. And that's the biggest problem and challenge that we have with the way segmentation and marketing is done today, where we try to hit as many people as possible with a single message because we believe it's the most efficient and cost-effective way of operating the business. But when you think about the waste that is embedded in there because you're spending, and I'm going to use ridiculous numbers to illustrate the point, but you're going to spend $100 doing marketing when you really are only trying to target 20 people, right? Because you don't know who the 20 people are. You have to target all 100. Right. You're going to spend $100 targeting 100 people. What if you targeted the 20 exact people that you needed to target and you spend $100 just targeting those 20 people? Think about what that return would look like. Or instead of spending $100 to target 100 people to really convert 20, you just spend $20 targeting the 20 people and you get the same exact impact. And so that is what is possible with something like emographics. And to your point on TikTok, it is also possible to inform things like messaging, like what influencers you partner with, or if you have an influencer strategy. What is your product strategy? So what does your product need to do? What are the needs that it needs to respond to and solve for? It really also should be informing your customer experience journey and what that looks like. And is it the same for all of your customers, or do you have on ramps and off ramps depending on what segment or what cohort of customer you are dealing with? We're all fundamentally motivated differently. And what we haven't really embraced as a business community, as marketers, as insights, as data people, is that what motivates us is not something that we actually know, right? It is part of the unconscious. Exactly. Yep.
So it's so crazy. It's true.
Yes. We absolutely have to lean into neuroscience, which is where this work is being done, to get to that level of understanding. Because there's nothing that is above the line, like a survey, like a focus group, a questionnaire, like any of the things that we do right now, that is ever going to get below the rational. And a lot of our behavior is irrational. And so that is what this is all about. And how much more effective can we be if we are to all embrace this new frontier?
My last question, what is one action that a qualitative researcher might be able to take based on your presentation at the conference?
I think definitely looking into neuroscience and behavioral science methodologies. I'm a huge fan of metaphor elicitation work, for example, and implicit association work, for example. It's something that we are doing a lot of right now to understand home buyers and home sellers, for example. I think this is all very progressive work that's being pioneered at the moment. But my overall desire and message out to the community on this is we have to think beyond the work that we've been doing for the past couple of decades. We are in the most complicated time to be in business that we've ever been in any of our lifetimes. What was working yesterday is not going to work today. And what is important about that is that what is working today is not going to work tomorrow, because the change, the rate of change for our behaviors, for the culture, for the world around us is so fast that we are in a constant state of transformation. And so understanding that unconscious, those unconscious drivers, those unconscious behaviors, et cetera, will also help us to be able to forecast where things are going. Because right now we're doing a lot of shooting in the dark and experiencing that change as it is happening and not being as prepared as we could be if we are to embrace neuroscience and behavioral science and demographics to anticipate those changes. So that is my big message to everyone that is in this business.
Our guest today has been Esther Mariah Tejeda, CMO at Anywhere Real Estate. Esther, thanks so much for joining me. And everyone else, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. We both hope to see you at Qual 360 North America at March 13th and 14th at Gallup's headquarters in Washington, D.C. Happy researching.